Blog Talk Radio.
Promises, I'm all through with promises now. I don't know how, I got the nerve to walk out. If I don't remember, I feel free. Now I can look at myself and be proud. Let me now.
Welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. It is the election season, and I thought that was the best theme song we could do for it because we're going to hear a lot of them. Today we have Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and our often guest, and I guess you'd call him a co-host, Ron Feynman, author Ron Feynman. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Yeah. Good day, all.
That was the Dionne Warwick song, Hal David and Burt Bacharach classic, I believe.
It was. I love Burt Bacharach, and I love Dionne Warwick.
Oh, they wrote tons of good songs.
Yes, there are plenty of them. You're right.
And I thought, promises. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we're about to hear is a lot of those. But you have to judge who's going to keep the promises, who you can trust as the sincerest. And this year, more than ever, I think we're getting a lot of progressive promises, but who's going to follow through?
Good point,
Glenn. Well, we'll just have to see, I guess. It's hard to tell at this point. We're still pretty early into it, but
Yeah, we have like 50 million people running for president. I had one student say I should run.
Yeah, Bernie is just declared, or he's on the verge of declaring, I guess, and we don't know about Biden yet, so there are still a few out there that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Awful crowded, though.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to go clinging to Bernie. I think that people are very ready for, especially a woman candidate, and which of course is what I would like to see, of course. But whoever is the best candidate is, so far, there are two people that impressed me really big. How about you guys, Jack? Who I think you're looking at Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Kamala and Elizabeth Warren are the top-notch ones that I see.
Yeah, me. I got another one besides Harris. I'm Elizabeth Warren and then somebody from my community who has absolutely, really, realistically no chance, but she has all the moral qualifications and she's saying all the right things. That's Marianne Williamson. I don't know if you guys know she's running or heard what she's had before.
Yeah, I'm aware of who it is, but I don't think she has much chance.
I don't think so.
Yeah, anyway, my feeling is, I mean, there are a lot of good candidates, but right now my main interest is in Amy Klobuchar.
Yes.
And also in Julian Castro.
Yeah.
I think Klobuchar is a great senator. She's done a lot of good things for Minnesota, and she seems to always be in the right place at the right time. But she's not a real progressive, not the kind of progressive that have been winning who won all of the 2018 elections and trounced the other Democrats in the primary that were the DCC machine people.
Well, but I see her as part of the Minnesota DFL, Democratic Farmer Labor Tradition, of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Walter Mondale, Paul Wellstone, who I loved, and even Al Franken until he was forced out. And I think that's a very good tradition, the Minnesota DFL tradition. And it is the Midwest. And it is the need to win the Midwest, and she has done very well in every one of the Senate races, and I think she has a real shot at winning the Midwest, which Hillary Clinton could not win.
And she's heavily barnstorming Iowa right now, and that's a good move on her part.
Yeah, she made a funny comment I saw where she said, I can see Iowa from my front porch. It reminded me of Sarah Palin saying she could see Russia. But it was made to be funny. I think it's hysterical.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because Minnesota does border on Iowa. It's true. I think she's the favorite in Iowa, honestly. And that's the
I would agree.
Yeah. But on the other hand, Kamala Harris probably has the edge in California on the Super Tuesday, which is March 3rd of next year. So I think, you know, but then, of course, Texas is also that day. And I think Julian Castro or Beto O'Rourke could be the front runner there.
Yeah.
Well, Beto
it's a very mixed loads of candidates is what I'm saying.
Beto O'Rourke hasn't thrown his hat into it yet, and
he's going to, though, it's clear.
He's not making the same impressions with progressives. Are you guys, do you guys regularly read what the, like, Common Sense and Truth Out and the rest of those very progressive publications, the ones where they're interviewing people and they were on the side of people like Gillum and other progressives that won the election? And I would remind you, Hillary may not have completely carried the Midwest, but she won the election. She did win.
Well, yes, I know, but I have all these people online who say the Electoral College, that's our system. And I said, yes, but that's the founding fathers, the white supremacist class of the 18th century, who set this system up to prevent mass popular involvement. So,
right.
But yes, technically, Donald Trump did win, but I'm still furious over the loss of Hillary, because she did win by bigger margin than Kennedy, Nixon, or Carter.
He won't carry Pennsylvania, Michigan, Iowa, or
Wisconsin
this next time. There's no way.
You know, I frankly,
if he does, we'll have to say I'll eat my hat, right? Even though I don't have a hat.
Well, no, I won't
frankly,
be eating my hat.
I still think that Elizabeth Warren has the skill set, and she has the ability to carry the progressive, the real progressive.
That's true. You know, my only concern is that I think she's a lightning rod to attract Republican voters who otherwise would be very complacent and not vote. So they vote against her rather than for Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that a woman to win has to be someone that doesn't scare working class white men. I'm sorry to say, and I don't think Amy Klobuchar scares people. I think Warren does a lot. I think that's the problem, that she's a lightning rod for people to come out and vote against her. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Working class white men haven't elected a Democrat president in how many generations, gentlemen? Excuse
50.
Me, but
generations.
That's the truth. And the other part about that is that, she's going to have a hell of a machine on the East Coast behind her. She already has. You know, she's already been setting up since the last election.
But she also has to compete in New England and the Middle Atlantic with Bernie Sanders. They're going to have a combat there.
Yeah.
One of them can get to the finals at the most, you know.
I think he ought to sit this one out.
He's not going to, though.
Oh, I know.
I think you're going to be surprised at the numbers, and I think that Warren has a real chance of wiping the floor with Bernie. She's also got the Kennedy vote, so that means a lot, especially in England and Maine and all of that New England patch up there.
Hand, Joe Kennedy, while he's endorsing Warren, would be an excellent running mate for almost any of the candidates, including Joe Biden.
Point.
I think he's a leading vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's thrown his hat in with Warren completely.
The moment. Well, he has to, I think. And I'm sure he loves her, but I don't think he would, that he would not support the others. I think he would back almost any of the others,
sure,
if indeed she forces.
Well, if they get the nomination, he will back whoever gets the Democrat, won't we all?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we'll all. But I think we really need, my hope is, personally, that we get a true progressive who will make real changes. Look what happened in 2018. Look who won the election in 2018. Heck, you got a lesbian who won the Democrat seat and put people into the House in Oklahoma. I mean,
yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
There is a shift going on. And
yeah, also, the Kansas governorship went to a Democratic woman, which was surprising
true.
In Kansas. You're
good
right.
Good point, yep.
And Iowa, I think, has all Democratic Congress people now except for Steve King. It's the only district that's Republican. That's amazing, too.
That is incredible.
And it's been progressives, real progressives. I mean, people who are talking about fundamental change here and now. And I think the country is especially Democrats because it's been my experience in life that mostly Democrats are critical thinkers, and they've seen what the Republicans and Trump have done to the country in the last 2 years, and it's horrific. And if you get a compromiser in there, like Klobuchar, she's a compromiser. She'll make a lot of compromises to get things done, which everybody should be willing to do. But how do you compromise?
I would not call her a blue dog, though. I'm sorry. I won't.
I'm not calling her a blue dog. I would never do that. I think she's a Democrat. But she is, however, she also is willing to take a compromise instead of, if she had been head of the House, she wouldn't have done the same thing Pelosi did. Just did, in my opinion. She would have hemmed and hawed on that one because I've seen her record. I've watched her. She's done that before, and she's done really good work for her state. She's enabled her state to get a great deal done. But as far as the country goes, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be, and Bernie's going to run. Oh, well.
Yeah, he had to retire. I like him. I like him, but I don't want him costing the election to somebody that could win.
That's what worries me, that some of these candidates are so appealing, but they cannot appeal to the censor, and we still have to get the censor.
Right.
Well, down here in Florida, Democrat Center voted for Gillum. You know?
That's true, yeah.
And down here, the Democrat Center, they were real upset with the idea of Bob Nelson not being replaced by a better candidate. And down here right now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to get her ass handed to her by the gay community in her district.
She's terrible.
Well, she's been able to count on.
She's so
the
mediocre.
Vote. No, she's a party. She's an. What do they call them in Russia? A Pachek? A Parchek. And a Parchek. And she screwed up horribly the last time.
Yeah, she's terrible.
She was dirty.
See in her district if she can lose. I don't think she can. She's not going to lose to a Republican. She may have faults, but who's going to defeat her, really?
Yeah.
There's two candidates down there right now. The guy who went after the last time, and he's won over the LGBTQ community, which is a good portion of her.
There's not a single district in the entire country that is majority LGBT.
And actually, she has a good record with the LGBTQ community. I know, because although she's not my district, I'm aware of her. I really don't see her losing the nomination and not certainly losing the election. No Republican's going to win. So even though she's objectionable to many, I think she's still going to be safe in her seat, unless somehow the districts are changed after the reapportionment. But even there, I don't really know who could stop her.
There's a young gay or lesbian lawyer who's going after her, and down in – that's my community, Ron. I know I come right out of Wilton Manors. I know those cats down there. And they are what they're angry about is what she pulled during the last election, because there were a lot of Bernie people down there. And on also, not only within the LGBT community, one of the reasons why she keeps winning is because there are large elderly, it's a large elderly Jewish community that's registered in her
district. She's not going to lose them.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but they are
Wouldn't put any money on it.
I, you know what? That would be a fair bet. I bet you $5.
You'd lose, I think. I don't think she will ever lose that seat unless there's a personal scandal, but not just because of what she passed. Personal is different, yeah, but I don't think she is involved in anything like that. I think it's going to be very hard. She's got as safe a seat as anybody has, I think. She has opposition, but not 50% plus one or even 40%. You know, there's a three-way race. I don't think that, I just don't see it happening.
She was involved in one of the worst ethical scandals of the last election.
Yeah, but she escaped it.
But what's new with politics? There's always lack of ethics. I'm not saying, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that's not going to be enough to defeat her, I don't think.
You could be right, but I do know that there's a large push to get rid of her, a really large push. And there was the other guy, Calvin somebody, who came really close to knocking her out of the primary seat. The last time of
he's a Nova professor. Yeah, the Nova University professor. Yes.
Who is? I don't know that much about him. I liked what he had to say, but I don't know that much about him. But I do know that she's now got problems with. Her name is Nancy. Oh gosh, I can't think of the last name. She's a prominent attorney in Fort Lauderdale, and she does not like Wasserman Schultz at all. And I've worked alongside Wasserman Schultz on the Obama campaign in 2008.
I've met her a couple of times. Yeah.
She's not nice. She's not people. She's not nice people during an election.
She's hard nosed. I'm not ending it, but she's a hard nosed politician, no question about it.
That's true.
Yeah. It's just nasty to people, okay? I've seen it, stood in front of it, and couldn't believe it. I was like, why would you do that to these? You know, these people are volunteering. Why would you say something like that to myself? Didn't say to her. I just looked at her like, are you nuts?
I got to tell you, Mike was not mine anymore because the district lines have changed. But the person who used to be my congressman, Ted Deutsch, however, has a great reputation. He's really wonderful.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say anything critical about Ted Deutsch. I think that, you know, South Florida is lucky to have him.
Yeah, I like Ted Deutsch. He is nice people. Yeah.
And now my congressperson is Lois Frankel, who used to be the mayor of West Palm Beach. She's all right, but I'm not thrilled by her personally, but she votes all right. But I wouldn't call her my favorite person, but I really like Ted Deutsch, yeah.
I've drank with Lois Frankel. She's
tough as nails, huh?
Yeah, well, a good friend of mine is her prompter, you know. She wants what she wants, but she did an incredible thing.
Every Wasserman Schultz, I think they're very similar, although different ages.
Well, no, I think Lois Frankel has decent integrity. She's just way too pro-Israel for me. But she has integrity, whereas I don't think Debbie Wasserman Schultz has any at all. I don't really think she does.
Well, my impression of Lois Frankel is that she's very blunt, but I guess that often happens. A lot of women in Congress are blunt, and I guess men can be blunt, but they can get away with it. If a woman is blunt, people criticize it.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how that works? It's not funny. It's terrible the way that works.
I mean, like I've always thought Elizabeth Warren is shrill at times, the word shrill, but so is Chris Christie, so is Newt Gingrich, so is Donald Trump, but they're men, and men and Rudy Giuliani, they can get away with it, but a woman who comes across as shrill alienates a lot of people for some crazy reason. It's a double standard.
It's unfair, but it's a reality.
Yeah.
I don't get, I've never really experienced Elizabeth Warren as shrill. I've seen her get angry, but not shrill.
That's the definition, I guess. Yeah.
I'll tell you who Lois Frankel reminds me a bit of, who was one of my, I didn't agree with her on certain things, but I always admired her, and I got to walk behind her when I was in school a few times for demonstrations with Bella Abzug.
Oh, yes. I remember Bella Abzug well.
Oh, my God, Bella
She was
Abzug,
quite a character.
Yeah. With her crazy hat.
She was also a smart woman. She was a smart woman. She really was.
Oh, yeah.
She was a bright lady. And she had a whole lot of we lost Wayne. I hope he'll call back in. He may have went into a zone. but Bella Abzug, I thought Bella would have made a really fine candidate for vice presidency over what's her name? Who was it?
Geraldine Ferraro.
Geraldine Ferraro. Yeah.
In 84 with Montiel, but Montiel still lost in that 49 states. I think Montiel was great, but you know he couldn't compete against Reagan.
He wasn't strong enough as a male candidate.
Yeah.
And to pick that woman was a great move, but
wrong woman though.
He should have
picked Diane Feinstein.
Reagan.
San Francisco, I think, would have been better at that time in 84. Diane Feinstein, you know,
She
went on to greater things. Whether you agree with her or not, I think Geraldine Ferraro was a lightweight, you know. But Mondale came across as someone who said that taxes are going to go up, but he's not going to tell you, and he was right. The taxes went up under Reagan.
Yeah.
I
remember that first debate, and Mondale cleaned Reagan's clock. And after that, Reagan was a little bit wary, as I recall. And then all of a sudden, they got to him, and they made him bone up more for it. So the next one, he was a lot more effective. But
had
that
more
first time, he got clobbered.
I think he had more medication. I think he was lacking his medication, maybe.
Yeah. Could be. Could be, but whatever it was, the debates after that first one, Reagan more than surpassed.
I wanted to say when you were talking about Bella Abzug, when that person is very different, but someone I think that really comes across as someone who's a character like she is, this Maxine Waters of California. Wait to the hearing where she questions Trump. Oh my God, that's coming up. That's going to be great theater to have popcorn for.
Yeah, all the people on the right, they can't stand Maxine Waters.
She's 80 years old, and
she
acts great at 80. She's really with it, you know?
Yeah.
She's not stupid. She's very smart.
No, she's incredibly intelligent.
And
imagine if she was running for, I'm joking, she's too old, for vice president. Imagine that. Oh, my God.
But, I saw a set of numbers on CNN, and they were saying that so far Kamala Harris is standing out. I wouldn't vote for Cory Booker if you gave me money.
No.
Well, but you'll back him if he's a nominee, won't you?
I saw a chart they had. They had Joe Biden number one. They had Bernie number two. They had Kamala Harris number three. And
O'Rourke,
I can't remember
the
ones after that.
O'Rourke, I think, was fourth. Beto, yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. Well, I think she's got a good chance, but she's got to overcome two barriers, race and gender. That's a lot
true,
for a country that is not that progressive, I think, basic outline. That's the problem she faces, I think.
Yeah, the rural country areas.
Yeah.
Again, I would say I would bring up Kansas, I'd bring up Oklahoma, and I'd bring up 2018.
And Iowa also
walked in to Congress.
She's not going to win the South. The South, she'll never win Florida, I don't think.
Trump's going to take the South.
It's terrible.
You know what? This kind of revolving, you know, old machine style politic that sort of anchors that kind of energy. And it's but there's a lot of people.
Well, they're entrenched. They're comfortable
angry.
And they're entrenched. And nobody's going to shake them out.
I know a lot. I know, well, not a lot, but the few Republicans I do know are not voting Republican in the next election at all.
That's a good sign.
Because of the tax? Because of taxes?
Because
of the tax issue, that the taxes are going up for people on their tax returns?
Because the guy sitting in the Oval Office is,
he's a kook.
You know, absolute, that they're all horrified by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly,
you know,
after his 50 minutes high rate on Friday with his sing song way of going up and down in his voice, sound like he's really off the wall, you know?
He's nuts. You know, it's amazing. He has caused a lot of people already to leave the Republican Party. Longtime Republicans like Richard Painter, who's a moderate and a very learned Republican, he doesn't consider himself a Republican anymore. And
Steve
Schmidt,
the guy who worked for John McCain.
Steve Schmidt, another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
he's
Nicole
very
Wallace, she's another one. There's a bunch of them.
Steve Schmidt is running the campaign for the spoiler, Schultz. Did you know that?
Yeah.
For who?
And I don't, that guy, he's just, that guy's no good. He's just,
yeah, what you say? Who's he running a campaign for?
Howard Schultz.
Are you serious? Oh, I didn't know that.
Billionaire Schultz.
Oh, I think he is a real danger. He's going to cause the Republicans and Trump to win if he stays in the race as an independent. He'll
get
5%, you know, like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein got, and it might be enough to defeat whoever the Democrat is. He is a nightmare. He really is. I didn't realize. I'm surprised by that. Wow.
I'm not so sure I like Steve
Schmidt anymore.
That old chessboard being dragged out again, and all of the mechanizations of that old game. And
boring.
I think it has changed. I think that if you don't look at what happened in 2018, how the Congress changed so drastically, how many women are running, and how many issues that are. Look, you know, there are a lot of millennial and young white men.
Yes, good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Behind Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren, and old white guys just ain't cutting the grade because young people don't trust them to throw them.
Yeah, I think Biden's leading mainly because everybody knows who he is. But I don't think there's a lot of strong support behind Joe Biden. Or Bernie Sanders, for that matter. They're just known. They're well known.
That's all it is. And
that's not good enough to win.
Basically, they're saying that real front runner right now seems to be Kamala Harris because she's out there. She got out there and gave such a rousing speech. Well,
yeah,
then
she's sharp. She's attractive. She has minority roots and all that stuff, but. That's not a horrible thing, and she comes across as non-threatening. She comes across as a very intelligent woman.
And I love her laughter when she laughs.
Oh,
she's very funny.
I know. She really has a hearty laugh. I love that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
she's enjoyable.
Warren came out with, did anybody listen to Warren's speech?
Yeah, that was good, too. Very good.
Yeah.
It was excellent. It
she
was
nailed
absolutely.
It in many ways.
And
I wanted to mention about Kamala Harris that she's often called the female Barack Obama.
A lot of people would say they don't want another Barack Obama because why? He didn't take care of the Cheney and Bush.
Well, the hardcore right don't like him at all.
No, it wasn't realistic to expect that, unfortunately. What we want and what can be done realistically are two different things, I think.
Right.
Really? You're going to say that when somebody gets in office and you got Trump sitting there and all those rotten Republicans who are criminals?
What's going to happen, as I've said, I predicted, and I think I told this program that I had the most hits last year on History News Network when I said Trump would be gone by June 20th of this year, making it a shorter presidency than Warren G. Harding, who is the fourth shortest when he died at that point after 29 months.
And
I think
you're right.
Likely, unfortunately, will become president, probably pardon Trump and probably pardon his kids, and will scream and yell. But just like Ford with Nixon, it's not going to be possible to avoid it. I don't think.
I don't fear Pence at all.
First of all, he can't pardon him from the district.
Not from New York things.
From the state charges. Only from the federal ones.
Yeah. He can't, and he can't pardon his kids from that either. The other thing is that, you know who else just said the same thing, Ron, that you did? Elizabeth Warren. Somebody asked her she might have said it a couple of weeks back, but she just said it this week. I saw it on Maddow.
Mm-hmm.
She she somebody asked her, well, you know, how, what's it going to be like to you? Because Warren actually gives Trump a real pain in the ass. He's got fear of
yeah. Oh, he can't stand her.
And so they asked her, you know, how are you going to, what's it going to be like to debate with him? And she said, well, it's probable that I won't have to. And with any luck at all, you know, he won't be in office and he won't be free at large either.
Well, and him and his Pocahontas nonsense. What a jerk. That is so insulting.
Well, I'm glad to see that Warren and I actually said the same thing. But I don't know about him being in prison necessarily. Not because I don't want him to be. I just don't see it happening because Nixon avoided it, and I have a feeling that Trump will avoid it.
Well,
maybe pay fines, things like that, but I don't see him.
If they put the nail on the head of him trading back and forth with Russia, if they can square him, we already know his campaign did. If they can square him into it, I do think, because I don't think the country is going to put up with another, you know, let it go with like Cheney Bush or what happened with Nixon.
Well, you never know. The thing is, Trump, you know, he's a hefty, he's a big man. He's a big fat ass. And you know, every night before bed, he has
a heart attack,
a McDonald's cheeseburger, and that's not healthy.
Yeah.
So I don't care what the physicians say about him. He can't be in good health. He talks like he's demented.
Yeah, they say if you do two Diet Cokes a day, you have a 1/3 increase of a chance for heart attack or stroke. He has, I understand, 12 Diet Cokes a day. So that's really
tempting.
He might end up dying in office.
Yeah, plus cheeseburgers before bed.
Well, there's two things my dear departed mother used to say. First of all, young lady, never wait for dead man's shoes. And the second thing she said was, some people are too effing mean to die. So
I have a point.
It's
like there are people that get ulcers
people
and people that give ulcers. He's one that gives ulcers.
He is a malignant narcissist. And that means that he doesn't carry the same emotional baggage that most people do. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. All he cares about is himself.
I've had people say to me, even his children, he would not be that concerned about to save them if he could. That he only worries. I wonder if that's true, that he would let his daughter or son or son-in-law go to prison and not try to, you know, prevent it. I wonder. I don't know.
As long as he could stay out, he wouldn't care.
That's what some people have said to me. Yeah.
I think that's true.
I think Jack's right. In a New York Minute, I think Jack's right. He's always been throw it under the bus and walk away. Now, exactly. All he does is lie.
All he does is lie.
But Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, says he's never known him to do a lie. He says he might just be inaccurate, but he's never lied. He said it right on TV. I couldn't believe it.
And there are people that are so deluded they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And that's one of them right there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. There's a great many people coming out for the Democrat primary. Right?
The Democratic primary?
The Democratic primary.
About 30 is going to be, which is crazy.
It's too many.
It's only going to allow 20 to be debating, I guess.
Good God.
Yeah, that's too many even. So it should be no more than 12, actually. I think 12, almost like you should have an execution squad to get rid of some candidates.
Well, it's getting preposterous, really.
That machine guy from
DNCJ,
he's already said they've already got rules for this, and it goes by how much money you've raised, and there's two rules to it, and that's going to be final, and they'll do two rounds of
debates,
primaries, debates,
but all by chance, who's in each debate. But the problem is that you can't really get that many people getting enough funds, money, because there's only so much to go around. So
yeah.
I think there are a lot of people going to be knocked out by lack of support financially.
Well,
yeah,
I
this could be a
right.
very bad election
right.
if they don't get it together.
They could
well,
lose it.
Well, you guys, come
they
on.
They could shoot themselves in the foot. Very easily.
Look, they said in 1968 Nixon couldn't win. In 1980 Reagan couldn't win. That 2000 Bush couldn't win. But they all won, so don't
all
be
win,
so
yeah.
sure that the Democrats have it in the bag. I'm really
Good
concerned.
Point. Good point,
oh,
yep.
I'm not, I would never say that anything's in the bag, although I really do think Daffy Duck could run against him, but... That no, that nothing is ever in the bag. But I don't think it'd be Trump they'd be running against. I think it'd be another Republican.
Yeah.
Well, now William Weld, the governor of Massachusetts, is exploring the idea.
Yeah.
He's like a moderate Republican of running, in a primary. But he hasn't been in office a long time, and he's 73 himself. So he's
yeah.
No,
the more the
no,
merrier. On the Republican
yeah.
side, you know, but I don't think he has a chance of a snowball's chance.
But also
chance
the Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, who does very well, is thinking of running. He hasn't gone that far yet, but he's rumored now, Larry Hogan. And my son lives in Maryland, and he didn't vote for him, but he says Hogan has been able to work with the Democratic legislature. So he might be almost like a person that could, so like say, I can cross the aisle and work with Democrats. So he could be a potential threat, I think, for Trump or for Pence.
Wow.
Yeah, Pence is absolutely worthless. He's just a yes man.
Who is?
Pence, he's just along for the ride.
Yeah. Pence didn't say much for 2 years. Now he's saying too much. I say, enough, please
yeah.
be quiet.
And, he wouldn't have won re-election in a very, very red state of Indiana. He's very unpopular. He's too conservative even for those people. So I don't know how the hell he expects to win the presidency someday. I don't see him ever being any sort.
Did you hear about what happened with him yesterday in Europe?
Yeah, they didn't when he mentioned I'm bringing greetings from President Trump, they all sat there and did not cheer, which is, I think, really telling, yes. And I wanted to mention with Indiana that the South Bend, Indiana mayor, Pete Buttigieg, who is only 37 and
yeah.
is openly gay and has a husband, is running. And he always says that, it's the same state as Pence, but he says we're not the kind of state that Mike Pence represents. He said, I've never had a problem with being accepted and all that. And he seems very appealing. I don't think he can go very far.
Well, I don't
South
think so either.
Indiana,
yeah.
But he is appealing. He's very smart, too. You
very
know?
Intelligent,
he's
yeah.
candidate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
imagine if we elected 39, he would be, and gay. Could we match up on revolution?
I can't imagine that happening. Not in my lifetime. Not in
and
my
in Indiana,
lifetime.
Not from an eastern or western state, but from Indiana, Mr. Conservative
no.
state.
Yeah.
That would be mind blowing.
And I'm not against
Jack,
that, but I just can't see
I don't
it
think
happening.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Jack, I got to tell you, I protested with Bella Abzug against apartheid when Mandela was in jail. I never thought to see him released, let alone president of South Africa. I never
yes.
thought I'd ever live to see the day that a black man would enter the Oval Office. And not only that, be one of the finest presidents we ever had.
Yep.
So.
And I just wrote an article on History News Network about his rankings on President's Day, which is on Monday, of course. Yeah. And I sent it to you.
Well,
you know.
I'm protesting. I'm protesting on President's Day. I am. You know, the presidency as it stands at this moment is a fallacy. It's a joke.
Yeah.
There is no leadership in this country right now.
Not right now. Just terrible.
But. Yeah, it's just a protest against Trump. But never say never is the thing. I mean,
freak things happen. You're right.
The truth is that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She
Absolutely.
Was elected. There,
Al Gore also won the popular vote in 2000, as we know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just with every did you ever in your life think that you would see what has happened to this country in the last 2 years since Trump?
Oh,
did
no.
you ever think? And let me tell you what, with the guns and the kids and everything, do you know how many, you know, we talked about this before, and they're still doing it. The young Parkland kids and stuff are still making the rounds all over
Good
the country
them.
And out of the country also.
We can be very proud of those young people. They're on the right track, definitely.
Yeah, David Hogg is going to be a congressman, I think, from South Florida. Maybe he'll defeat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. In 6 years, he's not old enough. But when he's 25, like about 2026, probably, I guess. Or I don't think he'll be old enough.
I think
before
he's
I could see him
it.
Being in the House.
He's up
yes.
to it. He's certainly up to it, no doubt about that. And I'd love to see it.
I don't think Coral Springs is her district, but I will say this.
He can move into it, though.
That's true.
They have registered so many new young voters, and a lot of kids this year are coming of voting age, and they know what's going on. So when you say that, this person or that person, I got to tell you, I have a strong instinct that if the Democrat is not they'll be voting in the primaries and the progressive, the one that says, that stands up and sincerely says and convinces people, systemic change has to happen. You know, and
I hope so, but I wanted to mention David Hogg actually lives in Ted Deutsch's district, unless maybe by 2026 he'll retire. I'm joking, so he can run for his seat.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
I'm thinking about the voting community, and
if you don't
think the backbone of the Democratic vote in this country isn't women and primarily women of color, you're kind of nuts.
It's women and the younger millennials and below that, the just voting block. It's a very hopeful sign to see they've gone way blue. I love it.
Yeah, well, what they've gone is not way blue. They've gone way progressive. It's like
progressive, absolutely.
Yeah, if you talk to them about the old way of doing things, Democratic whatever, you give me a. Now you confuse me on that one, Jack.
It's not Democrat Party. That's redneck talk. It's Democratic Party.
Yeah. Insult number two of the night. Okay.
When people say Democrat Party, it just pisses me off because I used to hear Bush and Cheney talk that way, and it's incorrect, and it's an insult to Democratic Party people. It really is.
Yeah, well, Democratic has several meanings too, so it gets a little confusing.
Well,
but the point
traditionally,
is,
the Democratic Party is not the Democrat Party. That's the way rednecks spit it out because they hate the
Republicans
party.
Use that. Yeah.
Yeah, they use that all the time. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So. The point that I am trying to make, though, is I think you're going to see as heavy an amount of voting out of these new voters as you would out of the old, you know, and
traditional.
And how many? Yes, and how many? I would call myself a traditional Democrat. I was a liberal. Now that's the proper use of the term, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Calling myself a Democrat. Of course, in my house, I was just a liberal. But the thing is that it just in how many generations have you seen white men, middle class or even lower class, you know, below the poverty level, you'll get a Democratic vote. But they still are not the massive amount of voting for the blue party.
Well, now that the unions have just been disemboweled by Reagan onward, you used to get a strong union vote, and that was very strongly Democratic.
That's
been weakened.
A long time ago, though.
That's a long time ago.
That's big on Warren's ticket. If you've read, gone to a site and taken up, She wants to reinstitute the unions big time.
Good.
She's
that'd be
very
great.
Much for it.
I'm all for it.
I don't think this is about her collecting votes. I think this is really, truly her coming from a working class.
Labor rights, yes.
Right.
I think she's sincere, very sincere. I also think
and the unions created the middle class in this country.
Yes.
There's no
and
doubt about
that.
They created the middle class. They made it prosper. They made it people to have enough money in their pocket to be able to have a nice vacation, a nice home, send their kids to school. And that's been whittled away since day one by these Republicans that want to keep it all to themselves.
Well, it all started with Reagan knocking labor
that's
unions
right.
in the 80s. That's when it started the rapid decline of labor.
I
yes.
never liked that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And
well, but compared to Trump, you like him.
Oh, God.
Everything is relative,
young,
right?
It's a tough choice.
Anisha.
Nice in person, although he might not have been always genuine, but he came across better, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, he was a lot better on
young
TV.
Voters.
No doubt.
These
yes.
young voters are very aware of that. These young
yes.
voters don't read MSN. They do not read the New York Times. They might read the Atlantic, but they mostly read Common Sense and Truth Out. Listen to Amy Goodman. They get their news that way. They're not paying attention too much to MSM. They don't do that.
So the mainstream
yeah,
press, yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that. Where they might be listening is to a few shows on MSNBC. They
yeah.
like Joy Reid and they like
they
Rachel.
Like Rachel Maddow,
like
yep, them. That's true. Yep.
But
Lawrence O'Donnell, I think, is great at 10 o'clock on MSNBC.
Yeah,
Lawrence,
he's more subdued and he's less appealing to the younger crowd, I think.
Right.
But he's still
but
he's rock solid.
Also, Chris Hayes at 8, I like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chris Hayes is good, but let me tell you what, Jack, he got their attention and their applause because Lawrence O'Donnell was the only one who walked out to the Dakota during that oil fight at Standing Rock.
That's
he
true.
Went
yep.
out there and he was with them and he got a lot of attention from this crowd, so I wouldn't knock him off the block. But
no, I wouldn't either. I like him. I watch him almost all the time.
Hey, listen. I was never a big I was never a big fan of Brian Williams, but at 11 o'clock,
been okay.
He's wonderful at 11 o'clock at night. I'm always staying
yeah.
up for him.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I watch him because I don't watch any other of the regular like CNN kind of news.
No, yeah.
What Brian Williams is basically gives you a rundown of the day's. With the same old tired people, though, I'll tell you. Rachel Maddow teaches these kids stuff. She teaches
oh, yeah.
all of them. I mean, Ron, you're the teacher. I mean, does she not teach us what's
she's
going
very
on?
Brilliant.
She's wonderful, yes. She should win honors and awards. She is fantastic, yes.
And her ratings
and she's watched
are through the
Fox
roof.
News
and
at her
know
hour.
What's amazing?
Yeah,
he's
which
the
is
only,
shocking.
Only person on TV that can go 20 minutes without a commercial break. They always have to pepper it the rest of, because she's so well liked and listened to, and she's so popular.
Yes, she is, and she's very intellectual, which appeals
yes.
to me too. You know,
but she doesn't come across that way.
Yeah.
Well, no, she doesn't. She comes across as, look, let me explain this to you, and she
right.
does.
Yeah.
And people
trustworthy.
Get it. She's a Rhodes Scholar. I mean,
yeah,
she's
incredible.
Dummy. I used to listen to her when she was Doc Maddow on Air America for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched her progress. You know, some of the stuff she used to say on Air America, just spin your head. It was lovely. It was great. And
I remember when she made her debut on the Keith Olbermann show years ago.
And
that was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Where is Keith Olbermann? We don't hear from him regularly anymore. He was hysterical to watch.
Yeah, he was great. Well, he had a falling out with the brass at MSNBC, and he went off for a while on current TV till they short-circuited him too. So he's just he's laying in the weeds. I don't know if he's going to be on TV again or not, but he was running a column for a while. He's a brilliant guy.
Yes.
He was doing sports. He was working for ESPN on baseball for a while, but then he got political there and they canned him.
Well, that's one thing he and I share. I love baseball and politics, so that's a nice thing we have in common.
I'd like to see him come back in a big way on one of the networks and dominate the way he used to. Boy, he really took charge of that time slot.
Oh yeah, he screamed. He absolutely screamed, and I was right there with him when, after 3 months in office, Obama had not brought charges against Cheney and Bush, and that's what got him in trouble.
Right.
And his stand-in. His stand-in host was Rachel Maddow.
Right, that's
true.
Yeah.
He brought her on.
I remember when he first introduced her, and she seemed a little bit nervous, even though she'd had a radio program. But she did herself very well on that introduction.
Yeah, and she didn't hold back either.
No,
she did not hold back. What I do miss on Rachel's show is her Friday night bartending hour. I enjoy
they don't do that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else? I miss Jon Stewart, who used to be on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
I really miss him. He's not around. We don't hear much from him anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
One person I don't listen to much anymore, and I've had it up to here with, is Bill Maher. I used to watch him on Friday evenings on HBO, and for the last month or two, I have not. I mean, this is a guy who's willing to hobnob and call friend, Ann Coulter and Roger Stone.
Say that,
That's come into his own now has been Stephen Colbert. I think he's been doing a great job on, I think, CBS. Is that where he's at?
Trevor Noah on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Jon Stewart. He's hysterical, Trevor Noah, you know.
Good. Yeah.
Very good.
There's good people. It's just how many people are watching. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you never know. So, well, CBS is a major venue, so I bet Colbert is doing pretty well on it.
Yes.
And Jimmy Kimmel, every now and then, takes a stand and makes a difference.
That's true. Yeah.
I asked you guys if you had seen the Grammys. I watch the Grammys. I go with a wonderful Brandi Carlile song came up, The Joke, which I really love. But it was Alicia Keys hosted. Jada Pinkett Smith, Jennifer Lopez, and their special guest, who nobody knew was going to be there, walked out on the stage, and the house went down. The ruler of the world walked on the stage in silver lame, gray silver lame. Michelle Obama. She is the ruler of the world.
Everybody. Now, the argument, some people have said, if she's not interested, if she was to announce for president, she would sweep everybody. I wonder if that's true.
She's the ruler of the world, Ron. I'm telling you, she's the ruler of the world. I was here in my bedroom with my HD sound turned up to hear the music, and I'm clapping. I mean, it was wonderful.
And one thing I think, if she was to run and win the White House, she probably would be to the left of her husband. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she would.
Could be, yep.
Or she'd be to the left of him with an eyebrow arched and a ruler in her hand. Okay.
And she'd make sure he didn't smoke anymore.
She walked on that stage, and people were crying and clapping. It was amazing. You could hear people clapping all over the world. You really could. She walked out. I tell you, she's the ruler of the world. She really. Her book.
I don't think any book has ever sold as well as her book. And all the public appearances she's making, the lectures. My God, I could only dream about that.
Yeah.
The book is just wonderful. It really is. It was a Christmas gift for me this year, and I've only read about half of it. It's just wonderful. But her walking on that stage, geez, drop the mic, walk away. You know, she was fabulous. And I think that no matter what you say, it's always going to be something of a cult of personality as this goes on, you know, this primary season.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering, Ron, who you think can win that one, the cult of personality.
As far as for the Democrats, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Cult of personality. Of any of the people that are thinking of running?
Yeah, who's going to be the best loved? Who's going to be the one they really like?
Love.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know. I don't think it's Bernie Sanders, honestly, even though he had
no.
a fling years of, back in 16. I'm not sure I can even answer. I'd have to think about it. So let's talk so I can think. That's a tough one. Cult of personality.
It
cult of personality has a bad image. It reminds me of Stalin. I'm not sure we should want a cult of personality, if you know what I mean.
Well, very appealing and appeals on a number of levels. I'm going to just throw in my vote for Kamala Harris. I think she has possibility of filling those shoes.
Probably I would say her, but I don't know. I'd have to think maybe it's someone who's not running.
Oh, that could be, too.
I hate to say it. You might think I'm crazy. I think Joe Kennedy III could be the person. If he was to agree to run, which he's not, because I think a lot of people just want another Kennedy in the White House, and they find him very appealing. And he only will be 40 in 2020, and that's why I think he's a good choice for vice president for somebody.
Yes. Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's already made a deal. But the thing is that you guys don't pay attention to, do you? I know you're on Twitter, Ron, because
I never go with that stuff.
Are you on Instagram? Do you see that one?
Actually, I'm not on Instagram at all. No, I haven't.
A lot of information and a lot of you can see where people are going on that thing in a lot of different ways. And
what do you think is the result? What is your conclusion?
Well, Kamala Harris is posting some good stuff, but it doesn't even come close to the stuff that Warren's posting that's very personalized and aw shucks, and people are liking it. She's posting, you know, these daily little, and that's how Beto got so much attention. You know that, right? That's how Beto got so Instagram. That's how he got out there.
I think he's a rising star. I really do.
Yeah, I think he is. I want to just point out, we only got 3 minutes left. Did you realize the time flew by? My gosh.
Wow.
So, Ron, will you tell folks where to find all your wonderful articles that you've been posting this week?
Okay, well, of course, on my blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I'm on Facebook under my name, Ronald Fineman, under Progressive Professor, and under my title of my book, Assassination Threats to the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. And I'm also on History News Network, and I just published this article on Obama and ratings, you know, on President's Day. And also I'm on another radio station, WWGH in Marion, Ohio, Warren G. Harding's home city, with Adam Lepp and Scott Spears, and at least one of them, Adam Lepp every week, Scott Spears once in a while, and of course I'm on your show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and we're grateful to have you, Ron. And I want
to
put in a good word for our friend Wayne, who we lost here, Wayne Johnson. You can read his blog at the Life and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Yeah, I was wondering where he was. He was on at the beginning of the show, right?
Yeah, well, he was driving, so I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's disappeared now. But at any rate, that's where you can find his writing and stuff. And he's a great writer, and he has a lot going for him. And I'm Jack Jodell with the Saturday Afternoon Post. You can see me at www.jodell53.com. www.jodell53.com.
You're only 53? Wow.
No. That's
I'm joking. And then the illustrious Glenn, of course, right?
The show is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestor, and also the Saturday Afternoon Post by Jack Jodell. That's it, gentlemen. That's all the time we have. Ron, thank you so much.
Keep pushing forward, everybody.
Thanks so much again.
Yeah, good to see you. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, sure.
Thanks, Ron. Have a good week.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Yep.
Bye-bye.